morning. A warm welcome as we gather today. It's good to be with you again, FCC, and whether in person or virtual, the Holy Spirit is the same. Your interim minister, Jonathan New, the Dr. Reverend Jonathan New, will be returning from his vacation as of tomorrow. And as you know, you have started to meet in person with the soft opening with some wonderful safety precautions in place. But as of today, we are back to the virtual track because of the hurricane. And Governor Baker earlier this morning did encourage that all of us, whether we are getting a direct hit or not, please stay off the roads. So our prayers are certainly with one another and with all who will be experiencing this storm. It's good to be back with you again, and I look forward to this worship service. So come just as you are, grab a chair, grab your coffee, grab your Christ candle, and come worship the living God.
We have a few announcements.
Sorry.
Hey, do you know what that is? Okay, I'm gonna try something different. Let's see.
That's good. You're not echoing.
That is not better. Is that better? No. Okay, Elaine, do you want to do the announcements?
Sure, Sarah Lynn, I'd be happy to. We would like to give special thanks this morning, especially to Sarah Lynn, who has been has had a lot of curveballs thrown at her in the past 3 days, and she is our liturgist today. And we give special thanks to the members of the senior choir for the video performance of the song that we'll be hearing later during the praise. And thanks especially and always to Hank Zaretta, Randy Brewer, and the staff at Natick Pegasus for their technical expertise that makes this all possible.
I'll try again. Elaine, we want to welcome Elaine Gattani back to our pulpit today. And Elaine served as our bridge pastor back in 2020 for 2 months. We are so pleased that she is back with us. Elaine and her husband Steve also joined our church back in 2020. We'll have a time to share our prayers and celebrations later on in the service, and we invite you to send an email at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org at any time during the service so that we can add your prayers to that prayer time. There will also be a post-worship fellowship time after our service on Zoom. You can find that link via our link email that went out today.
And now today we gather as one community in Christ by lighting our Christ candle. I would invite you to take your candle and light it. And may the light of Christ be at the heart and center of our lives and of this worship service. May the light of Christ be with you.
The Spirit of God calls to us
with sighs too deep for words.
The Spirit of God calls to us,
claiming us,
summoning us to become more than we now are,
calling us by name, God's beloved children.
Thank you. Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Gracious and holy God, we come to you because you have first come to us. Give us in this morning hour of worship a new sense of your spirit breathing through us. Lift our hearts with the wings of song, heal our souls with the balm of prayer, enliven our minds with the words of scripture and interpretation, and newly enable us to dedicate our strength, our substance, and our service to your work in the world. Amen.
And now I invite you to join together in a gesture of blessing by placing your hands up and picturing truly the light of Christ coming through your hands and blessing one another, and knowing that the mystery of the Holy Spirit can work in any and all circumstances. And so now may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
This time in our worship service is a wonderful and worshipful opportunity to give not only of our presence and our attendance in the service, but of our talents, of our time, of a monetary offering, and of being a part of a large community. If this morning you feel moved to make a monetary donation, please go to the website and click on the giving portal, and your gifts will gladly be received. The morning offering shall now be taken. Let us give God thanks. Gracious God, we offer our gifts up to you, knowing full well that our gifts come from you. And indeed, we are simply returning a portion of all that you have given us. We thank you for these gifts, and we thank you for the church. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, who is with us always. Multiply these gifts that they may build the kingdom of heaven here on earth. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the book of Psalms and the Gospel of Mark, beginning in Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inmost parts and knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And continuing in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesies rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Here ends the reading for today.
Thank you, Sarah Lynn, for those beautiful scripture readings. Would you pray with me, please? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. And may your Holy Spirit add insight and wisdom to the readings of these ancient words this morning, making them new and alive and well in us. Amen. Well, this is one of those mornings where most of the sermon, if not all of it, truly is a reflection on some very heady scripture. When Sarah Lynn was reading Psalm 139, I was brought right back to my ordination of 25 years ago and remembered what those words meant to me then. And then hearing them today, I was struck with the new insight that even when we ask for darkness to cover us and we make our own bed in hell, if you will, even there, God's light is bright and shines upon us. That's a new scripture that I'd like to share with those that I work with, whether in addiction or contemplating suicide or wanting to just end their life. For darkness is as light to thee. God is in it all. And then we head over to Mark, to the Gospel of Mark, where there's this ongoing debate between the Pharisees, the Gentiles, and the Jews about who is clean, really who is worthy, and who is unclean, who to socialize with, who not to socialize with. Well, we have come through almost, not quite, but hopefully we are coming through a global pandemic, where the washing of our hands has been a beautiful sacrament, a life-giving sacrament, where the washing of pots and pans really makes a lot of sense. But what happened 5,000 years ago is all of these rules and regulations took over, and people were so fastidious about keeping them so that they could be holy. They completely forgot about their hearts and their minds and their relationship with the living God. So we pick up in Mark where the Pharisees are the religious leaders from Jerusalem, and they're on a kind of fact-finding mission, if you were. They are sent to investigate the Galilean activities of Jesus. What is he up to now? We see Jesus often in the marketplace. Well, the marketplace is a place where clean, lawful Jews would come and look around and realize that they were being exposed to Gentiles, who were the other people, the unclean people. Those other Jews, even, who did not observe the ceremonial law of making them ceremoniously clean. The rules and regs taught by men, but unexamined hearts, are what the main problem is here. And Jesus really wants to address this. As a Jew, he's not pointing the finger. This is the most important aspect of reading these scriptures. He is a loving critic of his own religion. And he's saying, look, folks, we're missing the point here. We have the Ten Commandments. If we follow the Ten Commandments if we keep our eyes on the prize, if we lift our hearts up to the living God, if you follow me, you will be clean. Because it's not what you put in your mouth, it's what comes out of your mouth. He emphasized saying, listen, listen to me, everyone. You can almost hear him pleading, saying, please understand this. Nothing outside of a person can make them unclean. By going into them, by ingesting, rather, it's from the inside out. It's what comes out of a person that makes them unclean. Jesus, 2,000 plus years ago, was speaking very much about what Carl Jung, the Swiss psychologist in the 1930s, coined the term our shadow self. There is a collective shadow as a group, and there are individual shadows, and we all have them. We all have them. There is no other. There is no they. There is only we. Jesus speaks of our shadow sides, of the unconscious parts of ourselves, of our own inner human nature, of our own self that we tend to project onto another person who's outside of us. And we are actually being called by God to be searched. Allow yourself to be searched. Invite yourself to be searched. What you see, you may not like, but God will bring you to a place where you will come to love it and embrace it and integrate it and not act on it, whatever it may be for you or for me. It's like that wonderful parable where Jesus says, I know you see the splinter in your neighbor's eye, but there seems to be a log hanging out of your eye. We can't often see in ourselves what we so often see in others. And that goes both ways for a white or light shadow. How many of us say, this person is magnificent, this person is brilliant, this person can do that, this person has that talent? It's all in you as well, because this person is you. And some sweet day we will understand that. We are called to be searched. We're called to awaken. We're called to be conscious. It's hard work. Search me, oh God, and know me. Test me and see if there be any wicked way in me. And if so, provide your healing, provide your grace, and lead me, lead us into your way, the everlasting way. We're called to be aware that we all contain within us the potential for good or for evil. We are called to be enlightened, to have that light, that spotlight shed on the dark places of our souls that cower in the corner with shame or guilt or fear. Those are the very parts of our very selves that Jesus has come to claim and know and love and bless and actually use for the building of the kingdom. What it means to be enlightened is to know one's shadow. Do you know your shadow? I've spent years studying and learning and examining my own shadow. And it's very, very humbling. And it's also very, very empowering, because you cannot project onto another, as Hitler did with the Jews. oh, the dreams he had as a child, if somebody only put him in Jungian analysis, there wouldn't have been World War II. Maybe even with the Taliban or terrorists or extremists. Search them in us, O God, and heal their ways. Our own beautiful Miriam Hernandez Gaiety has a fabulous Facebook page that I often go to for inspiration or just a daily uplift. And the other day, with her permission, I asked if I could quote what she had on her Facebook, because it's so, I told her, it's really speaking to the sermon that I'm forming in my heart. And this was a couple of weeks ago. So it's from the liberation theologist Leonardo Boff. You may remember him from the 80s. And he says, whoever lives the values of justice, of solidarity, of compassion, and caring for each other, including nature, you did it to the least of these, is closer to God than the godly ones who frequent the church or the temple or the mosque, who does their prayers, who partakes in communions, but on the way passes long before the poor that they find on the street. And I would say passes long before the poor that we find in ourselves. There are parts of ourselves that are poverty stricken and in need of God's tender care, in need of God's tender love. Yesterday afternoon, I heard a really simply fantastic and very enlightened interview on NPR, where they were interviewing people from Afghanistan. They were interviewing Afghans and women, a couple of young adults, American soldiers who have served there, the Afghan interpreters who are stuck and who are in grave danger. And what was fascinating about this interview, it was absolutely fascinating. The women, the Afghanistan women, took us to a place where she helped us look deep, deep, deep into the heart of the enemy, of the Taliban, because she had seen young, young boys whose lives had been taken by ideology and violence, who were owned by evil. And it puzzled her whole life, how can this be? Those who were born under extreme conditions would become terrorists. And she was actually looking at them with more deep compassion. And so that was quite a laundry list that we heard in the scripture. And who the heck wants to spend Sunday morning hearing a laundry list of anger and hatred and inferiority or superiority or greed or fear or evil thoughts or sexual immorality, or let's throw in theft or murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, envy, slander, lewdness, arrogant, folly. Well, folks, welcome to the human race. Welcome to parts of you. Let God search you and know you and test you and try you and see if there be any wicked way in you. And you might be really surprised that there's been some gift or talent or projection left cowering in a corner that God really needs and wants to use. You see, we live in such a dualistic world, them, us, black, white, they, the other, and me. We must become more compassionate and understanding, and know that not only the shadow side, but the light side lives in us, and try to understand how the other got the way they did, to start looking with eyes of compassion, and above all, to ask for God's grace. God's grace. We can't heal ourselves. Ask for God's grace to search us and know us. Part of enlightenment is embracing your own humanity, embracing your own humus, if you will, to get to know and name and understand and have compassion for our own shadow. Because when one does that, it is far less difficult to project onto another person. We know, we all know we are a person of unclean lips, and it is through the grace of God that we are healed. And who doesn't want peace in this world? Who doesn't want health and healing in this world? If we want peace, we must be peace. We must tend to our own inner war zones. If we want more love in this world, we must be loved, and we must know the love of Jesus Christ. If we want understanding, let us understand the other. If we want a world filled with far more compassion, start with allowing God to be deeply compassionate towards you. As our bulletin quote read this morning, Anne Lamott, the Gospel According to Anne, I do not at all understand the mystery of grace, only that it does meet us where we are, meets us right where we are. Good place, bad place, doesn't matter. And it never leaves us where it found us. God's news is actually really good news. Jesus has actually already done all of this, has conquered the collective shadow of humanity, if you will. We are but to follow in his ways, in his path, so that we might become overwhelmingly encouraged. We do have a Jesus to call upon. We do have God's grace to ask for. We do have hearts to open and receive it. We do have the eternal words of another gospel, according to Mary Oliver, in her first few words of her poem that you are probably so familiar with, Wild Geese. Hear it anew. You do not have to be good. You don't have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert, repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about your despair, and I will tell you about mine. And by the way, it really doesn't hurt to wash your hands as a sacrament of love and to wear a mask as a gesture of compassion for others. Amen. Many of us have already been in a spirit of prayer for days now. And I did not take my own advice, and I think I watched a little too much news in the past 2 days, especially weather forecasts. So I lift that up as my confession. So today we gather our prayers, our concerns, and our celebrations. And Sarah Lynn, I invite you now to share with us any special prayer requests that we may have.
We want to hold Elizabeth, Patrick, and their unborn son, who is due in the next few weeks, in our prayers. And we're asked to hold John Sullivan, who is Connie Sullivan's son, his loved ones, and medical team in prayer as John undergoes surgery on Tuesday. And prayers for the people of Afghanistan, the Taliban, refugees everywhere, and prayers especially for our planet crisis.
Thank you so much. May we lift those prayers up as well. Join with me in our morning prayer. Gracious and loving God, we thank you that you are not in the wind, that you are not in the rain, that you are not in the flood or the downpours, that you are not in the down power lines, but you are in the still, small, reassuring voice. We thank you today for all those who have helped others to make preparations for the hurricane that is about to hit the Northeast. And we ask that anyone who is in harm's way either evacuate or be protected. We are especially mindful during any crisis of our own interconnectedness, and we give you thanks for community. We ask you to surround and protect our police and our rescue workers and all the crews out there in the next few days that might be helping to get us all up and running again. We ask you to be especially present in the evacuation mission efforts in Afghanistan. We thank you that we have taken responsibility to know that indeed, we are the ones who can help. We pray, oh God, out of exhaustion and fear, we hand over to you this new variant, that you may help us to overcome even a global pandemic, and that we come through to the other side knowing that we are one in the same, that when one suffers, lo and behold, we suffer. And when one rejoices and is especially gifted, well, my gosh, we get to rejoice with them. We thank you, oh God, that all has already been made well, and that you have won the war and the battle. Help us, oh God, to be the peace that is needed in this world. Help us to be the love that you desire in this world. Help us to be your body here on earth as it is in heaven. And may we remember the words of Julian of Norwich, that all shall be well, all manner of thing, everything, all shall be well. We lift our prayers up to you as we gather our hearts and our voices, our minds and our very bodies into prayer, praying together the incredibly precious words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And please lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, forever, and ever. Amen. As a people who have been examined, who have been known, who have been healed, who have been loved by the living God, let us go forth and be the peace, be the compassion, be the healing, be the wisdom, be the love in this world that God has created for us. Go with God's deepest peace. Amen. And amen.